Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
My goodness, I'm excited about being here. Are you excited?
I'm very excited. So many things are happening, yes. Man. We get a chance to be here on this program and talking with you. We love to hear your comments. Continue to post and share with your friends.
As a matter of fact, I just got a letter from Mary, one of our viewers. You know, Mary, we really enjoyed all the letters we get. But I was reading it and how she just has faith for what God is going to do. God spoke to her about some things, and she wanted one of the prophetic words that we shared online. She wanted the transcription of it, and we're able to get it to her. Listen, we're here to build your faith, to encourage you, to inspire you. And that's what we're here for. And we love hearing from you, commenting below, or writing to us at friends@vfnkb.com. If you missed one of our earlier broadcasts, you've got to catch it. Congressman Trey Gowdy was speaking. He, along with Senator Tim Scott, wrote a book called Unified. Mm. You've got to get this book. But it's a powerful now message for us, the church, to be able to change our nation. You know, God's called us to be able to love and to forgive and to help unify and share the love of God with folks.
And right? The hope for America is not in a political party,
right?
But it's in the church.
True. And it's not even in social media.
No.
Speaking of that, I know, well, we're looking at, you know, it was brand new. All the stuff that people think has been around forever just got invented yesterday. But it grows super fast. I wish I had some of the slides to show you how fast Facebook, for example, grew from nothing to where it is today. And it's an amazing platform. But now we're looking at, and we know personally, by the way, if you're wondering why we're not communicating to you on Facebook, we have thousands, you know. What's happening is that we're getting blocked. They have different programs that keep us from going out. As a matter of fact, they're grading you. And they're grading us, and they're determining if they're going to allow us to talk to you.
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
Or we have to pay to talk to you.
And then, even then.
Yeah, even then.
And even then, even they may grade then. You and say, we're not going to do it.
Yeah. In fact, new article just came out, says Facebook is being slammed now for new system to rate users' trustworthiness, to rate you. The article says that Facebook has revealed that it will start rating its users on a hidden trustworthiness scale as part of what it says to battle against fake news. Their product manager, Tessa Lyons, told The Washington Post in an interview that the rating system will seek to identify users who attempt to game, quote-unquote, the system by repeatedly reporting content they disagree with as untrue. Now, it's not uncommon for people to tell us something is false simply because they disagree with the premise of a story or they're intentionally trying to target a particular publisher, said Lyons. However, several experts have spoken out about their unease.
By the way, while you're doing this, hopefully y'all get the First Amendment out for us because we want to look at the First Amendment. Go ahead.
Several experts have been outspoken about their unease at this new tool, given that users will have no way of knowing their score or disputing it. Not knowing how Facebook is judging us is what makes us uncomfortable, said Claire Wardle, director of fact-checking company First Draft. The idea that we have a centralized reputation score for people that use Facebook is just plain wrong. And the headline in the Washington Post was just misleading. It just keeps going on and on and on.
Can you imagine the telephone company deciding whether they're going to let you get calls or not, or let you call people or not, right?
Crazy.
It's an invention. It was created, and all of a sudden they ran lines, and people started communicating over telephone lines, and all of a sudden they're saying, listen, you can make calls, but you can't make calls.
Yeah. Well, and they're scoring you. This is what Bernie Hogan from Oxford Internet Institute said. Facebook's methodology still raises concern. He said, consider the analogy of one's credit score. You can check your credit score for free in many countries. By contrast, Facebook's trustworthiness is unregulated, and we have no way to know either what our score is or how to dispute it. Facebook is not a neutral actor, and despite any diplomatic press materials are to the contrary, it is intent on managing a population for profit.
Managing a profit. So you had friends, right? And you exposed those friends to your network and Facebook, and you friended them. They didn't know that you were a friend until you actually let them know.
Yeah.
And now they monetized and allow or block your communications with your friend. It was brilliant strategy, but it seems evil. As a matter of fact, it seemed a violation of the United States Constitution, First Amendment in the United States. Look at this Constitution. John, read this.
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
So you think about this. You're going to assemble your friends around you on Facebook. You're going to talk to your friends. And you may even have grievances that you share with them. You can do this to your government, but you can't do it in Facebook.
Yeah.
And then they're going to secretly, behind the scenes, not let you know how they're doing it. Not only is that a violation of the First Amendment, that is like creepy. That's like
very, very creepy.
That is not good. As a matter of fact, potentially, I would say this, if God has laid on your heart right now that you have the ability to create another network out there, maybe, listen, you know, Mark Zuckerberg was in his dorm. He had the ability to do some coding. He created this. He did a good job of creating it. You know, and it's become all this. He probably had no idea. He became this and it became it. It's just good. But think about this. Maybe there's another network inside of you that you're not going to do that. You're going to be a constitutionally sound network.
Yeah.
And by the way, overnight, we would all switch over to your network. If you had a U.S. Constitution was your guidelines for that.
No doubt. Listen, we're going to go straight to Tom News as they talk about this trustworthiness, and they'll have a little bit more to say. Watch this.
Looks like someone got inspiration from the Chinese government. Facebook has now started giving scores based on trustworthiness of users on the social media site. According to the Washington Post, Facebook developed the rating system over the past year, and it would be used to assign users a score from 0 to 1. Facebook has not disclosed what criteria they use to determine a user's scores or whether the scores are used in any other way. Facebook claims the system was created in an effort to combat fake news. Facebook has given the option to allow users to report or flag problematic content on the site. However, they have discovered that some people were falsely reporting content just because they didn't agree with it. A spokeswoman from Facebook told the BBC, "They're doing this to ensure the fight against misinformation is as effective as possible. Users apparently have no way of knowing what their rating is, at least for now." Other tech companies such as Uber and Twitter also give their users scores and ratings. Even the Chinese government has a system in place in which it gives citizens a social credit score based on their behavior both online and off.
Listen, this whole thing is, this is a strategy. It literally is not it's a strategy to be able to produce a narrative, to do something. It's a little Jezebelic when you think about it, because I think about this, I think about where they're blocking some folks like on Twitter, but then one particular post posted saying, "I think we should kill someone's son," and they left it up.
Yes,
Dana Lash. They said that
radio host, syndicated radio host.
And so they actually let it go. They just she complained about it. They left it up, murder. They left it up. But then when she complained again, then they said we reconsidered it. They wrote her and they took it down. And then what it is and. Yeah, the owner says, you know, the founder says, you know, we're left-leaning and that type of thing. And that's you can be lean left, lean right. The thing is, don't muzzle out the communication. That's what Hitler did.
Yeah.
That's very, you know,
opens the doors for propaganda, too.
Well, the whole thing is, like, it's freedom. Your ideas should win.
Yeah.
If your idea is not good, don't shove a cork in the mouth of other people.
That's
right. Don't shut them down.
That's right.
We're talking about social media and how it's actually beginning to clamp down and grade and control. Well, it's happening in China. As a matter of fact, they're going to make their system, their social media system called Sesame, mandatory in 2020. In 2022, they're going to take over the 100-year Communist Party, China Communist Party, celebrating its 100-year anniversary.
Wow.
They're planning on taking some serious control. Well, what's happening in our own nation, right? It's happening right here. What
Absolutely. We're going to go straight to Sesame Credit as they actually break down how this thing is unfolding in China. And people are saying, hey, listen, what is Facebook doing? Are we getting closer to this Sesame Credit that's already established? Take a look for yourself.
Going under the innocuous name of Sesame Credit, China has created a score for how good a citizen you are. And that's one of the scariest things I've heard in quite a while. It's jointly run by Tencent, yes, that Tencent, the one that owns Riot Games and has a significant share in Epic and Activision Blizzard, and also the ascendant Chinese competitor to Amazon, Alibaba, hence the name Sesame. So the owners of China's largest social networks have partnered with the government to create something akin to the U.S. credit score. But instead of measuring how regularly you pay your bills, it measures how obediently you follow the party line. They dredge data from your social network, so if you post pictures of Tiananmen Square or share a link about the recent stock market collapse, your Sesame credit score goes down. Share a link from the state-sponsored news agency about how good the economy's doing, and your score goes up. But Alibaba and Tencent are also the largest online retailers in China, so Sesame Credit is also able to pull data from your purchases. If you're making purchases the state deems valuable, like work shoes or local agricultural products, your score goes up. If you import anime from Japan, though, down the score goes. And this score has real-world consequences. Like many games, Sesame Credit has tiers and levels, and having a high score gives you special benefits, like making it easier to get the paperwork you need to travel, or making it easier to get a loan. Now, currently, there are no consequences for having a low score, but there's been talk about implementing penalties once the system becomes mandatory in 2020. Penalties like slower internet speeds for low-scoring citizens, or even restricting the jobs that a low-scoring person's allowed to hold. But there's one more layer to Sesame Credit, and here's where this goes from being repulsive to downright insidious. Because this is all part of a social network, it also scans your friends. So you will lose points for having friends with low obedience scores. And it tells you this. At any point, anybody can check anyone else's score. And when you check your own score, Sesame Credit provides a handy map of your friends to show you who's dragging your score down. Have you ever had that thing where you play a game with somebody who wasn't doing very well, and you've tried to change their behavior to make them do better? Or maybe after a while, you just sort of stopped playing with the people who were holding you back? That's at the heart of how this system works. And it's also what makes this one of the most terrifying tools of authoritarian oppression I've ever read about. Because, like, mass censorship, jail time, assassinations, those are all big, messy implements for keeping a population in line. That messiness and severity foster resentment, eventually rebellion. They're expensive, they're unwieldy. In the end, those tools are impossible to maintain. But social pressure? Ostracization? Those things are free. They happen on their own. And as a government tool, they don't have nearly the same potential for going embarrassingly, disastrously wrong. With a system like this in place, a government doesn't even have to tell neighbor to spy on neighbor, to rat each other out. Because that's all built into a seemingly innocuous game system. The government need not step in. Re-education will be handled for them by friends, classmates, and relatives who want to maintain a high score. And if that doesn't work, then potentially dangerous ideas still end up quarantined by the social isolation this game system causes. Express or help to spread too many radical ideas, and people will stop associating with you. And not because some jackbooted thug showed up at the door with threats, but simply because associating with somebody with those ideas will lose them all the privileges they've worked so hard to obtain. It recontextualizes obedience to an authoritarian regime. In the past, you obeyed such powers because you were afraid. Fear kept you motivated. But fear is negative. It fosters resentment. The world we're stepping into instead uses positive reinforcement to promote being subservient to the will of the regime. It's Big Brother's kinder, gentler...
This is so important. Do you know that in 2020, China's making this mandatory? This is not some side game. They're preparing to make every Chinese citizen, it's mandatory to be on this rating system. And by 2022, they plan to celebrate their 100th year communist Republican, not Republican, but communist, Chinese Communist Party 100 year celebration and clamping down. This has to do with so much. We're in the tipping point right now for the world. And we've talked about it with the pendulum movement and everything that's taking place. We have to stay awake and alert, and we can't let systems like this. This company wants to do this kind of stuff. We have to say, well, you can do it, but we're going to have another business that's going to do it better than
that's
that.
That's right.
As a matter of, they can even affect our elections, John.
Psychologist Robert Epstein is being interviewed by Tucker Carlson, and he's talking about how Facebook and Google are manipulating their users for political views and how 12 million votes can be shifted during this midterm election. Take a look.
Tucker, it's great to be back. I am not a conservative, and we should be extremely concerned because I can tell you the bottom line here is content no longer matters. All that matters is the filtering and ordering of content, and that is completely in the hands of Google and Facebook, and to a lesser extent, Twitter.
So what would happen? I know that you've gamed this out to some large extent. How would a company, you're not accusing them of this, but potentially, how would a company like Facebook or Google manipulate public opinion to achieve a desired result in an election?
Well, I think they're doing this all the time, actually, because we're well aware of the fact that they suppress material. Sometimes they announce it, sometimes they don't. We are aware of the fact that Google puts some items higher in search results than other items. Well, if search results favor one candidate, that shifts votes. I think we're well aware of the fact that news feeds on Facebook sometimes seem to favor one political point of view over another, and that shifts votes. So I have an article coming out very soon about 10 different ways that these big tech companies can shift millions of votes in November. In fact, I calculate this November they'll be able to shift upwards of 12 million votes just in the midterm elections.
Listen, 12 million votes can shift all the way from school boards to your county commissioner, to your sheriff, to your chief of police, to your governor, to your Congress, Senate,
even
the presidency of the United States. This is so huge. And you look at Sesame and China and what everybody's doing with this kind of technology, it reminds me of the mark of the beast. You know, he says in Revelation chapter 12, I believe it is, you know, it says that in these last days, there will actually be an economy called a beast economy that nobody, rich or poor, nobody can buy or sell without actually having this mark, whatever this particular mark is, you know? And so you think about that, we're like moving in, because China's in 2020, it's mandatory for
we're
them to
so
be on
close.
This.
We're so close. There's apps today.
And Mark Zuckerberg's going, here, regulate me, control me. At the same time, they're actually doing it themselves.
Asking if we're trustworthy.
Yes.
The question is,
are they trustworthy? Right. And understand, Facebook is just, it's just a business. And they can cut you off. They can shut you down, that type of thing. And hopefully they won't, because they'll lose, you know, a lot of customer base. But maybe there's a new company coming out. And think about this. If they're not hidden, creepy rules, but they would actually have some rules that it's the U.S., United States Constitution that will be guided by that.
And the truth is that the reason why I think could be one of the reasons why they don't value the user as much is because the user is not paying for the product.
Right.
The old adage in the industry is that if it's the product is free, then you are the product. Free email, free social media, you're the product. We need a social media thing that we're paying for.
And when you think about it, you are paying for it. You're paying it with your own privacy, giving it away.
This is true.
You're finding out who your aunt is and who your friend is and who your dad is and what y'all talk about. And all of a sudden, they know how to market to you now because y'all talk about hunting or y'all talk about politics or, like Isaiah, ballet, different things they talk about, you know. And it helps people understand that tutus is what tutus.
Those things don't count, right? Hey, do you wear tutu or not?
So if you're wondering why tutus showing up on your Facebook, guys, that no, he don't even have Facebook. But it's just they, that's what they're doing. They're trying to figure out how to market to you. This is just amazing what's taking place with the companies and social media, and it boils down to, you know, what's your position with money? Are you willing to give up freedom? Are you willing to give up, you know, things for money? You know, you're gonna get it for free, you gave it up for money. If you're gonna take somebody's freedom because you make more money, you're doing it for money. And God, this is what Jesus said, and this is just the church, you know, not to the world. He says you can't serve both God and money. So you have to make up your mind, you know, which one you're going to serve. And, you know, who's going to be your God, right?
Got to make that choice.
So think about this, you know, former CEO of Google, but now I believe he's the president, I believe, of ABC, which is the owner
Alphabet.
Of Google. Alphabet Company, which is the owner, I believe, of Google. And mind, the building the brain.
Deep mind, deep think.
We always get corrected when we say that thing. Yeah. But what's he talking about the privacy policies? You know, how far do they go with it?
Well, in fact, I want you to hear from himself. And, we, you know, we don't want to misquote him.
This is Eric Schmidt.
This is Eric Schmidt, former, you know, Google chairman, even served the previous White House administration and all sorts of things. But anyway, he's talking about what's Google's policy, because people are saying, isn't this creepy? They're invading our policy, our privacy. They're all into our stuff.
It's kind of creepy.
This is kind of creepy. In fact, there's a new movie documentary about all of this called Creepy Line, and I think they get it from his quote. In fact, watch Eric Schmidt now.
There's what I call the creepy line, and the Google policy about a lot of these things is to get right up to the creepy line but not cross it.
Well, you know, one thing I like about Eric Schmidt, he's never not told the truth.
Oh, he's
always been truthful, and his statement is always saying that we believe people are going to be good.
Yeah.
Which, you know, God tells us that
ain't nobody good.
So
God is good.
And now you're looking at technology coming in, so we found out people aren't good, therefore we're going to try to regulate good.
Mm.
And man can't regulate good.
No.
Mark Zuckerberg and his team are not going to be able to determine who's righteous and who's not.
And a lot of times, too, they try to say that it's all about the algorithm. It's all about the computer that's blocking you or pushing you aside or limiting you. But our question is, who's writing the algorithm?
Which is nothing but a program, computer program. But they literally created a straw man argument and called it logarithm and stuck it out there like they're actually not actually building the program.
They're not responsible for it. The computer's doing its own thing.
Right. And, you know, this is one thing I talked about, you know, we're about to close, you know, is that, you know, we're at this moment, what I call the great digital divide, and that, you know, you have to be willing to step up understanding this is a platform that you can reach the world, but Jesus said you wouldn't be treated any better than he was.
That's right.
And so the cost of it could be your very freedom, could be your finance, it could be even your life, you know, in some of the cases of different countries. So I just want to encourage you, you know, comment below. We love hearing from you. What are your thoughts on all of this? You know, write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. Keep us in your prayers. This is so important. And understand, don't be fearful of it. Just be wise. This is one thing he talks about in the prophecy, the revelation of Christ in the book of Revelation. He says these days require wisdom. And wisdom is having knowledge with the proper way to be able to respond to that knowledge. And just up front, just to let you know, Jesus told you day one, it's going to cost you. You know, in this life, you're going to suffer, but cheer up. I've overcome this life. And if you haven't made a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, we did. And we can tell you how to do that by going to meetmyfather.org. We shared some of our stories with you. You can find out our stories and make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, we just thank you, Father God, for our audience. We bless them, God. We speak encouragement over them, Lord. We just pray for innovative ideas, God. We pray for that you would even touch these leaders of these industries, God, that they would begin to say, we got to be able to honor people and let them share their thoughts and let them determine what is right and what's wrong, Father God, and that they wouldn't control this election coming up, God, that you would bring justice over America,
Lord.
That people would get a chance to vote and their vote would be heard, Father God, to be a just vote. And dear God, we ask you, Lord, in America, end abortion, send revival across the world, and send a great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.